I'm Father Ray Petrucci. Welcome to Thoughts for the Week. We hope you'll stay with us on a very interesting program. And I want to get to that once I invite you, as I always do at the beginning of the program, to contact us. Let us know if there are topics you would like us to investigate or particular areas you'd like us to explore. We'd love to do that for you. Just the burden, unfortunately, is on you to communicate to us. And I'd like to give you two opportunities to do that. First would just be to send us a letter and address it to Thoughts for the Week, Post Office Box 7466, Greenwich, Connecticut. The zip code in Greenwich is 06836. I gave you a bunch of numbers. Let me repeat these for you. The Post Office Box number again is 7466. And the zip code in Greenwich, Connecticut is 06836. If you find it a lot easier just to send us an email, you could do so at clemons10@aol.com. Let me spell that for you. C-L-E-M-O-N-S, the number 10, at aol.com. While you're on the computer, please go to our internet magazine, Spirituality for Today. You can find that at spirituality.org, spirituality.org. And that's important because .com will send you somewhere else. While you're on the website, you'll discover that you can also hear a radio program, Thoughts for the Week, and we have a number of them available to you right on the computer. Well, first off, let me welcome once again my co-host, Dorothy Riera. Welcome.
Thank you, Father. Always happy to be here with you.
Great. And we are honored to have with us Dr. Michelle Loris. And Dr. Loris is Associate Dean, the College of Arts and Sciences, Chair of the Department of Catholic Studies, also a professor of English and psychology at Sacred Heart University in Fairfield, Connecticut, where we produce this program. And so, Dr. Loris, again, welcome to Thoughts for the Week.
Well, thank you for inviting me, Father. Glad to be here with both of you.
Wonderful to see you.
And delighted to have you here. Well, we've spoken about a lot of topics and in other programs, and I think this particular program wants to look at the tremendous importance of bringing the faith to young people and exploring their awareness and concerns. And this is done through a particular, well, there's one particular effort going on called the Sacred Heart University Journey, SHU Journey.
SHU Journey, yes, that's what we call it for short. We call it SHU Journey. Mm-hmm. And so this program is really funded by the Lilly Endowment. And about 3 years ago, we wrote a grant to the Lilly Endowment. I should explain. What Lilly does is it provides money to all kinds of Christian colleges and universities for all different kinds of programs. Mm-hmm. And so this one grant was to develop a summer theology institute for high school youth. The aim of all of the institutes were to, and so it might be a Protestant school like, you know, Calvin College or Valparaiso, or it might be the University of Notre Dame or Sacred Heart University. But the goal is to provide a summer theology institute to instruct high school youth in their faith, so whether it's Calvinism or Catholicism, in order to foster in them the ability to become leaders in their faith, right? And to show them how their faith relates to their lives, to the world in which they live, to the problems that they have to address when they get out into the world. So we wrote the grant, SHU Journey, and our grant is has the aim of instructing our students in the Catholic intellectual tradition and showing them how that intellectual tradition can help them not only become better Catholic leaders, that is, to foster vocation, whether it's lay vocation or religious vocation, but primarily to become good Catholic leaders, and to show them how the Catholic intellectual tradition, the readings that we give them, can help them understand themselves better and the world in which they live, and help them address the kinds of problems that high schoolers face, drugs, alcohol, sex, I mean, whatever it is that they're dealing with
bullying,
in
suicide.
The world in which they live, you know, so how can they do that? Then I'll tell you the components of it. But what we do is we you know, we have it up on our website. And now this year, I guess we got about 60 applications, but we can only accept about 30 young people. And with the grant, et cetera, that's what the budget allows. And this is going into our third year, and we have a week-long institute. So these young people, we chose 30 high schoolers. We train 8 of our college students to be their mentors.
Mm-hmm.
We have 2 theologians who instruct them during the week. We have a liaison from the diocese and myself, who are the primary leaders of the college mentors and the students. And so the two of us as the major adults, you know, lead the week's institute. So the kids come in on Sunday. Oh, I guess I should say that those college mentors are trained. They go through a training period so that they can work with these youngsters. And we all live on the campus together for the whole week. So I get to have my experience living in the res halls with the with these kids. That's true.
Yeah,
and so does my partner from the diocese, who's a father, Patrick Donovan. I don't know if you know, but he's So the youngsters will are selected, and they're selected based on really they have to write an essay. Why they want to be part of Shoe Journey? What have they done in their past that would make them a strong candidate, and what would they like to do with what they learned from Shoe Journey when they go back home? And, we get applications from Catholic and high schools and kids who are in public schools but belong to various campus ministry groups. And so, you know, from our 60 applicants, it's hard. We have to choose 30. We can only choose 30 because that's our budget. We try to divide them male-female, so we have a kind of an equal number. We try to, look at the years that they're in, sophomore, junior, rising, senior in high school. And so there are a lot of variables when we choose them. They come in on Sunday, and this Sunday, the bishop will, as he's done in the past 2 years, will say the Mass. And if you've ever heard Bishop Caggiano speak to young people, he is the most inspiring, enthralling speaker to them, and he will sort of give them their go-forth talk, if you will. And then after Mass, we'll do orientation, and each of the mentors now will have a small group of kids that they're responsible for. So we have 8 mentors, 30 kids, and so they get 3 or 4 students that they're individually responsible for. And we do small group work with them, and we bring them together in a large group. Throughout the week, they'll have classroom instruction every day for almost 2 hours with a little break in between. We develop a custom book with them, so they have the readings of maybe Teresa of Avila or St. Augustine or Dorothy Day or Pope Francis, etc. And so the 2 theologians will instruct them in the classroom. They start out the morning, I should say, with we get them up kind of early. They go to breakfast, and from breakfast they go to chapel, and they have kind of a morning reflection to sort of set the tone for the day, because we call it Shoe Journey, but each day has a theme, God's call to us, meaning and purpose in life, giving service, being a leader in community service.
And the readings then go according to the theme of the day.
Yes, the readings go exactly. And we try to set up the day everything in the day to correspond to what the theme is. So let's see, they go to chapel, and the morning reflection will be on the theme. And we introduce them a little bit to music ministry. Then they go to the classroom. From the classroom, they'll go into small group. And the small group, you know, now the mentors are trained, and they're given specific questions to deal with the kids based on the theme, based on the reading. How does that apply to your life? And the kids will start discussion with them about what's going on. So they'll have small group discussion. Then they have lunch. On Monday and Thursday, they go right into community service. So So we put them on the shuttles and we bring them to go to Merton House. They'll go to Caroline House, all the places
in
Hall Neighborhood House. No, in Bridgeport. Hall Neighborhood
House. I'm meaning Fairfield County.
Right.
So all these are, question, are all these students from Fairfield County or do you have students from
outside? No, we have kids who apply from outside. We have a good handful from New Jersey, from New York, from Long Island who have applied. We try to give preference to the kids in the diocese, but some of these kids who have applied from outside are really strong. First year we had a youngster who applied from Maryland and a really strong student. And so they'll do community service on Monday and Thursday. They come back from that and they have Mass. And again, more reflection, a little bit more music ministry. Then with dinner, they have a speaker. So we invite some Catholic lay leaders and priests in the area come and speak to them. And, you know, what does it mean to be a Catholic? You know, how does my life, what's my life being a Catholic leader? And then after dinner, they do, again, some small group and large group work. We have some religious and spiritual activities, and we have fun activities. Mm. So they might do an adoration, and they might play volleyball. They might do both. I mean, they're most likely going to do both of those things because we want to develop community among them and bonding. And we do take them to two big fun activities. We'll take them to a trampoline park and to the ropes course. Those are the two big things. But as I said, they'll do adoration. They'll do witness. The mentors will talk about themselves as Catholic witness, and they'll do that in the chapel. And so they'll have one group just girls, one group just boys, then another group where they'll mix them together.
Their ages vary?
Ages, you go from about 15 to 17.
Mm-hmm.
And they, you know, we'll take them to the theme of this, of Wednesday's day is God's presence in the world. So that's the sacramental vision, right? How does the sacramental principle, how's God manifest himself in the world? So we take them to the cloisters, actually, and they look at art and the artwork there that represents Catholicism and God's presence in the world. We take them to Cabrini Shrine, and, you know, they'll have Mass there. And then, you know, we return in the evening. They might see a film that is, you know, more oriented towards, you know, not a regular movie. This is more a movie that will come out of maybe something of the Catholic faith, or maybe they'll see Ignatius of Loyola or something more contemporary.
So it's a very intensive week.
It's a very intense week. I mean, pretty much everybody is pretty exhausted by the end of the week. On Thursday night, they do some closing exercises. I call it the circle of love that they do. But they keep a journal. They keep a journal of their readings and their reflection on their readings. They keep a journal of their, you know, what kinds of activities and thought things that they can take back to their either
community,
school, church, family, campus ministry group. I'm trying to think of some of the other
things. How did this program come about? Was it because there was a need?
Well, it was actually, you know, it was the Lilly Endowment put out a call for proposals. And usually when Lilly sends out that kind of call for a proposal, Lilly itself sees a need across the country to develop leaders in the Christian faith. And I say in Christian, meaning Protestant and Catholic, right? They see that need, and so they're willing to give tons of money to different institutions. The University of Notre Dame's program's called Visions, and they've probably been around the longest. They're probably one of the most renowned programs. You know, we got about $500,000 for ours. And so Lily's willing to give you a lot of money to do this formation.
Have you been able to follow the students that have graduated from the program?
Well, the diocese actually takes that piece of the work. Now, what we do is there are two ways that we see these kids again. We have reunions, if you will. So we have a reunion in the fall and one in the spring. And really, the kids just come back to it. I mean, and the reunion might be, like one reunion was, we put together a panel of faculty from Sacred Heart to talk about, it was Laudato Si, I can't remember, one of the popes, either his exhortation or the encyclical. And I thought, okay, you know, it's pouring, it's horrible rain tonight, it's a Thursday night, you know, if 10 kids show up, I'll be really lucky out of that original group. Well, we had 30 kids show up.
Oh.
And the one from Maryland came all the way from Maryland. It was really amazing. And they, you know, what brings them back, though, is the kind of connection that they make with each other in these groups and the connection they make with the mentor. Those mentors stay in touch with them. I mean, so when I say, well, all right, let's do a spring reunion, I'll go to one of the college mentors and I'll say, what do you think? Shall I mail them? She goes, oh, no. We're all on Snapchat or Instagram or whatever the social media is that they're using. I'm talking to them. I'm talking to my group pretty regularly, and I'm like, you're kidding me, right?
You know, isn't that amazing? And when we think about what we were talking in programs last, the disaffiliation amongst other students, and here you have this group
of students
that converse and come and congregate and keep on
But
together.
Remember, in that study, going, one of the things that we saw was that those kids are disaffiliated. They don't have meaningful connections with a group that is promoting or fostering or representing Catholicism or the Catholic faith. And these kids, you know, now granted, the kids who are going to apply to Shoe Journey are probably, for the most part, not the disaffiliated. But I will tell you, in some of the applications, you will read, I want to come to Shoe Journey because I really am losing my faith in God.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this will help me. Mm. Or I'm not sure Shoe Journey is the right place for me because I'm not sure how strong my faith is, but I think this might help me. And so we will bring them in.
We'll bring them in.
But the and the other thing is that we'll get a lot of kids who will want to come back for the second year, and we have to balance that out. You know, it'd be great to take repeats, but we have to make
give
room for new. You have to give opportunities for new kids to come in, and so we try to balance. It would take a small handful of the kids who want to come back, but they will, you know, they will say, you know, I came in the beginning and I was really doubtful about it, etc. Or my mother made me do it, if you will, you know, but it was really transformative. It was the best thing I did. They do have a kind of a transformative experience. And at the end, we have a kind of a going forth ceremony for them. You know, Father Canale will say special mass, give a homily. We give them a certificate of completion. We give them a little cross as a token. And we have the parents in for a reception. And, you know, but the kids have made connections with, you know, new friends. They've made connections with the mentors. They've read these writers, these intellectual writers of the church, St. Augustine, Teresa of Avila, whomever. And they, you know, it's kind of opened them up a little bit. You know, they have mass every day. They have, as I said, reflection every day. And the small group and large group questions, which we work on ahead of time, you know, Larry Carroll, you know, helps develop a lot of that. But we then train the mentors. Well, here are the questions to guide your discussion. And we want the discussions to be real and not canned. So it's not just, well, you know, are you going to, you know, answer this question? Because we'll see where the question takes to the discussion.
The student.
Right, takes them. But it's something that's really
And I guess it meaningful. Gives them a sense of accomplishment at the end of the week.
It does.
Of what they have achieved. And maybe those that were losing their faith have refound it.
Well, some of them do. I mean, you know, I can't account for every single one of them, but they will say that, especially when they want to come back again, you know, that they renewed their faith and that they, you know, redoubled their efforts in their, you know, trying to connect with campus ministry or something in their parish or, you know, if they go to a Catholic school. So I would say that, you know, and we have them do an assessment at the end. You know, they all complain about getting up early. We do get them up really early, and we put in a very long day. You know, so we get them up around, I shouldn't say this because it won't, but they have to get up around 6:30, 7:00. They have to get to breakfast, go get started, right? And their day doesn't end till 10:30 or 11 o'clock at night. And you know, with teenagers, right, who knows what, you know, they're going to stay up even a little longer. But, you know, it's every minute in the day is accounted for. So whether they're on a shuttle going to doing community service, or they're going to a dinner where they're going to hear a speaker, and then they're going to talk about, you know, how did the speaker, how did the community service connect to the readings? How does it connect to the reflection? How does it connect to your life? What did you learn from this? And then, you know, those small and large group discussions.
And when they go home, do they influence their peers when they go home? Do you know if they follow through?
Well, you know, it's interesting because this year I probably, in the application pool, you know, I have many, many more than I did even the first 2 years saying, you know, well, John talked to me about it, so I want to come. John came last year, and he wants to come this year, and he told me about it, so I want to come this year, too. And I want John to be my roommate. But we got many more of those young people saying, you know, that someone has gone back and talked to them about it. And I think that, you know, what we try to do in the classroom is not just the reading, but to do the kind, you know, the kind of thing in that program that we were talking about before, Going, Gone, right? A lot of those disaffiliated kids said that people weren't answering their questions. They weren't, you know, they had really important, compelling questions. You know, how do you account for the hypocrites? How do you account for, you know, evil? And evil is, it's not, you know, it's all kinds of things that are evil. We call it evil, but for them it might be my mother died of cancer, or it might be why is there hypocrisy in the church, or why did somebody rape, or why does the church have this attitude about, you know, gays that it does. So all of these things, right? They have these very compelling questions, and we try to deal with that in True Journey as well as in our CIT, but those are the college students. So what we do is we take college students who have gone through our CIT seminars, right? And so now these kids are pretty much their juniors, maybe rising seniors, a couple of them, college students. They've gone through our CIT seminars. They've done most of this reading. They've had the best teachers. A lot of them are honor students. And now we're, you know, kind of retraining them again and getting them ready to teach the high school kids. I mean, we have two theologians teaching the high school students in the classroom, but you know yourself, a 15-year-old is going to be much more enthralled by a 19 or 20-year-old college student than
by
a 50-year-old, right?
Yeah.
Right? So that, you know, and that's why I have the young people there. I mean, you know, I may direct the program and I may be the overseer, and I have to make sure that everybody is well and doing well, and, you know, there are no kids who are suffering from homesickness or something like that, you know, and that everybody's safe. I mean, that's my job. But and that everything is running well. But the kids, you know, as much as they might like me and come up to me and say, oh, thank you, Dr. Loris, for letting me come, they're going to be connected to the mentor.
To the younger generation, no question.
Now, usually with grants, the grantor is interested in getting feedback on the program.
We have to write a report every year to them. They also have throughout the year, they have webinars. So they routinely call together all of the program directors on a webinar. And they'll have topics, you know, how did you do with assessment? How did you do with recruitment? Sometimes they'll call in extra speakers. And then they have an annual meeting in Indiana in January every year where they call us all together. So they get lots of feedback. Yeah, lots of feedback. And, you know, you have to report on everything that you do. And we send them all of our materials and, you know, all the list of names of the people who participated, et cetera. So it's, you know, it's a very comprehensive, detailed report. And they would like to see, you know, the program then be able to generate its own funding so that it can continue. this call for proposals. I mean, because think about it, you know, Sacred Heart got $500,000 for this, you know, another institution, another, let's say another $500,000. I mean, so, you know, they gave out a lot of money initially, right? Now, they won't put out that call for papers for another 4 years, maybe 5 years, to get other institutions up and running with that. So what they like to do is say, okay, here's your $500,000, and you've got this grant for 4 years, and you're going to run it for 4 summers. Now, see if you can't raise some money.
Exactly.
And
to keep it for perpetuity,
to keep it going.
Keep it
right,
going.
Right.
When your awareness of the individuals involved, there is obviously you've spoken a lot about connections, feedback, or what's happening there. Do you get any feedback on what they do? Because in essence, they're going to go back to get involved,
some of it's anecdotal, mm-hmm. But what we see is that they're more active in their campus ministry groups, in their, you know, their parish ministry, youth groups. I call it campus ministry. That's what we call it in the college. At the high school level, they're more active in their youth groups, and some of them are more active in their Catholic high school groups. So we get that sense where they're more aware, and so, you know, they're more attentive to the kinds of things that the church is offering them. And actually, now we see some of them applying. Like, I had about, from the two groups, I have about 5 or 6 who are applying to Sacred Heart, and they've decided that they want to go to a Catholic school, and they want to go to a Catholic college or Catholic university. And you know, I mean, that's pretty good, because our groups are small. You know, Notre Dame University, you know, they probably take 600. You know, they do it for a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. But our program is a more small-scale program, mm-hmm. but we do a lot of intensive work mm-hmm. with them mm-hmm. in a lot of different aspects.
And just the aspect that they want to come back every year is a tribute to how wonderful the program is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, they do. I mean, we had probably half of our applicants this year were close to half were kids who wanted to repeat. We just can't, you know, if we just take back the repeat
years,
we need to be able to do that.
Well, Dr. Lawrence, I am absolutely most thankful for you being with us on this program. And boy, we could go on and on. But I'm delighted to see this magnificent effort among young
program.
Leaders
oh,
who,
yeah.
who are the ones who can be involved with the change in the future we're looking for. Well, God bless all of you listeners for being with us. We hope you join us again next week. And we wish everyone well. Dr. Lawrence, Michelle,
thank you.
Dorothy, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Father.